Hürkün oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun, trap sonsun. Trap sonsun, trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булан. Давж дуудан дур булан буруулаа.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Adam Hunter here. We have a brand new MMA Roasted podcast today. It's going to be great. We have Grant Dawson calling in, as well as Cody Stamann, two upcoming prospects in the UFC. These guys are going to be huge, trust me. I want to thank our sponsors. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. It's legal, yes. So go to speedweed.com. They will deliver it right to you. They got the best marijuana, CBD, vapes, THC sex lube. They will get it to you. They'll deliver it all over California. They're great people. My friend Gino runs the company. He is the man. Okay, go to @speedweed. Go to speedweed.com. Check out everything they got. Mention Roasted. You get $10 off orders $100 or more. Also, if you're into CBD, and I am, okay, because it helps me relax, helps me focus, helps me do all kinds of stuff, go to Santa Cruz Medicinals, okay? They got the best coconut oil, all right, the best olive oil. They can make anything CBD infused. Their CBD coconut oil is top-notch. CBD olive oil, top-notch, okay? And they have CBD face masks, they have CBD vape pens, anything CBD, they have it. Follow them at Santa Cruz Medicinals. Go to scmedicinals.com, mention Roasted, you get $10 off orders of $100 or more. Okay, now let's talk to Cody Stamann, and let's talk to my man, okay, the one, the only, Grant Dawson.
It's going. What's up, guys?
What's up? It's just me today, Adam Hunter. I met Grant. I did a comedy show in, where was I? Kansas City, Missouri. And you came with James Krause and your beautiful girlfriend, who I didn't realize was also a fighter. So, hello?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you. One second.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah. So, I was saying I actually met you in Kansas City, Missouri. I did a show with Jeremy Piven, and you showed up with your beautiful girlfriend, who I didn't realize was also a fighter.
Yeah, man, she is. She's an amateur. She's had like 6 or 7 fights, and she's looking to have another one here pretty soon.
She seemed like the sweetest girl ever, and then I went on her Instagram. She's a freaking straight beast. Girl's a killer.
Yeah, she's 5'1", and if you look at her, she's just a ball of muscle.
But she's got like little glasses, this nerdy little girl. I'm like, oh, that's nice of him to like date this little you know, hot geek. And then it turns out she's just a complete badass. So that was pretty cool. But let's talk about you. Congratulations on your recent win.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was a long time coming, and we finally got her done.
Yeah, well, that guy was tough. You know, it's tough to fight a guy like so tall and so good at submissions, right? Like, did he surprise you because you weren't able to kind of just beat the shit out of him like you do everybody else?
You know, he really did. I knew taking him down wasn't going to be very hard, but what I did not expect at all was how, you know, hard it was going to be to hold down his lanky, long arms, long legs, and he just kept getting up and getting up, and I couldn't get off any of my my patented ground and pound, you know? So it was frustrating, but we made adjustments in the fight, and I think we won every round, so, you know, a win's a win.
Now, you definitely won every round. I know that in the first round, I was a little concerned because he had you, I think, in a triangle, and he started elbowing your head, and I was like, oh, no. Please don't get caught. Please don't get caught. How close were you, and how tight was that? Was that triangle, or was it a guillotine?
So the triangle wasn't super tight. It was on my head, or my ears and my head, not my neck. So I could still breathe. But the problem is, I was so dry. We were both so dry. I couldn't pull my head out. And I remember vividly thinking, God, I hope he doesn't elbow me in the head. And then all of a sudden, I hear a thunk. Bonk, and I'm like, this son of a bitch, he's elbowing me in the head.
Oh my God.
But as long as I could breathe, I was like, I'm fine. I'll take elbows over not being able to breathe any day. Finally got out, and then we got to work.
Were you close to going out at all or no?
No, it wasn't. I was stuck, like I said, because I was so dry, but it wasn't on my neck. It wasn't, you know, closing off my arteries or my mouth. I could still breathe. I just couldn't move.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but it was good. It was like, you just warm down. You're a complete grinder and you don't run out of energy. How did you get your cardio so good?
You said it, man, you know, in the gym with killers every day, just grinding, you know, constantly pushing forward, constantly. I mean, I train with guys that, you know, James Krause.
Yep.
I can't hold him down for more than a few minutes or a few seconds, you know, and it's just, he doesn't get tired. So I have no choice but to keep pushing and training to not get tired. And all of my fights, aside from this one, have been finishes in the second round. I've never seen a third round until this fight. And, so people don't know that, like, I can keep up a pace. I can push for 25 minutes. I can push for 15 minutes. As hard as you want to go, I'm going to go one notch above you.
Was there any moment of doubt at all during that fight where you were like, man, this guy might have my number?
There was in the second round. I couldn't keep him down, you know, and it was like he wasn't doing any damage to me, but I just kept falling over. He kicked my leg like right as I went to go step, and it just knocked my leg out from under me, and I hit my butt, and I just remember thinking, like, that didn't hurt at all, but man, I look like an idiot. And then I got up, and he comes forward again, and I tripped again, like three times. I tripped, or he kicked my leg, or I just stumbled, and I fell over. And I just remember thinking in between rounds, God, I look like such an idiot. Like, I'm falling over. Like,
nah,
he just falls over in a fight.
Dude, you didn't look at that. I mean, you won 30-27, I mean, on my card. I can't see how you lost a round. I mean, you looked great. I just think that, like you said, this is the UFC. You're not going to get finishes every single time. There are just some guys that are just harder to get out there than other guys, you know. But you were a big favorite. Is that more pressure, you think, because you're a pretty big favorite, so you're expected to, like, look good and kind of win easy?
You know, I don't think so, but I've been a favorite in most of my professional fights, and not that, like, it matters at all as an amateur, but I was an underdog for most of my amateur fights. You know, I got brought in to lose a lot of my amateur fights. So I'm kind of used to both sides of it. So I really don't think that it bugs me either way. And for sure, once they close the gate and they say, are you ready? The last thing I'm thinking is, oh no, Vegas thinks I'm going to lose. You know, like,
right.
It's all, hey, don't get hit in the face, man.
Yeah, no. And then they kept talking about your past. They kept saying how you, I didn't know this. I mean, when I met you, you seemed like a very normal, smart, good, you know, bright prospect.
Well, I got you.
Yeah, pretty much. But you seemed like you had a lot going for you. And then they were saying that you were bullied a lot and that you were in special ed. And I'm like, was this the same dude that I met? Is all that true?
Yeah, man. I didn't have, so backstory on me, I was homeschooled up until freshman year or eighth grade or freshman year. And freshman year is hard for, you know, anybody. You know how it is being a freshman. I'm sure you were one once. And it's hard, but I didn't have, like, social skills. I lived in the country, had my church friends, and was homeschooled. So I didn't get to see a lot of, you know, people. And so when I got into, you know, just thrown into a public school, I didn't understand, like, how to act or how to, you know, I was, you know, goofy, weird, and being a freshman is hard as it is, let alone when you don't know very many social skills. And on top of that, I am dyslexic and I was in special ed. So it was kind of difficult. I did have some guys that, you know, picked on me and kind of pushed me around. But, you know, Paul Felder kind of said it too. I don't encourage bullying in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, it's all about using your life lessons to grow you. And I think that it did grow me. You know, it got me into sports because I wanted an outlet. It got me into fighting because I wanted to learn how to defend myself. And now I'm in the UFC, and I'm telling you, every single one of those kids from my school have messaged me and told me how proud they are of me and how they always believed in me. Whether that's true or not, it's kind of cool.
Now, why did your parents homeschool you?
My I come from a very religious family, and just, you know, they thought that it would be best, you know, to teach not so public school, you know, some of the views on, in public school. But then when they realized that I was dyslexic and I was having trouble with reading and having trouble with math, they were like, we can't help him, you know, grow in this area. So the most important thing for him is to get good at these skills, and public school is the way to help.
Right. So this is in like Nebraska. So you live in a town of like 30 people?
Yeah. There were 26 kids in my graduating class.
26. Wow.
26 kids. Yep. So, including myself, of course.
So every kid played every sport. I mean, how did you guys, how was the football team? You guys just had played, everyone played every position? I mean, 26.
We had 8-man football. That's how small our school was. I played for 2 years. I didn't get to ever like play. So I was like, man, this is stupid. But if I go wrestle, I focus more on wrestling, I can, you know, even if it's JV, which we didn't have a JV team because we were so small. So I was like, if I go wrestle, at least I'll be able to compete. And that's actually what got me into wrestling more than football, was just being able to actually do it.
So there were like more people in your home school than there were in your actual school.
Yeah, I came from a big family. There's actually 8 of us.
Wow. So you didn't get laid at all in high school, huh?
it took a while.
Yeah. Wow. So did you end up going to college?
I did not go to college. I actually got a scholarship to wrestle at a university in college, and I turned it down because I wanted to do MMA. So after I graduated from high school, I moved to a bigger town, Lincoln, which has thousands and thousands of people in it, to go train there. And then after a year there, I was going to make my pro debut, so I moved to Lee Summit to train with James Krause, and that's where I am now.
Wow. Now, where did you meet your current your girlfriend? Where'd you meet her?
Say again.
Where did you meet your girlfriend?
So she did train at a gym that was a town over, about 3 hours away, and she, you know, she fought one of my teammates actually, and they fought. And I remember talking to my buddy, one of my best friends, and I was just like talking about how hot she was. And he was like, yeah, you got no chance. After my contender series fight and I got the contract for the UFC, she messaged me, go figure.
Oh, wow.
She messaged me. She messaged me on Snapchat. We just started talking. I went up there and hung out with her, and we've been together ever since.
Wow. That's good. Now, is she the only girl you ever been with?
What's that?
Forget it. Now, what happened with USADA? Because I saw that you pop, but then you didn't pop. And then, like, what were you eating, like, a bad cow in Nebraska or something? What happened?
So, I won the Contender Series. I got my contract. I got a fight signed. And I end up failing a drug test for a picogram of this substance.
Wow.
No idea what's going on. Couldn't figure out, because I didn't take any supplements up until I got into the UFC, and the supplements that I were taking were just protein, and so I was very confused. And we sent all of our stuff in that we could, and it actually came back that it was negative, you know. And so we were so confused. We went to our hearing. It was like 14 months off. We went to our hearing to try to get it reduced, you know, like, so we had served 14 months and we had a whole nother year possible to serve. We go there, we explain our case that we don't know where it comes from. This protein is the only thing that we're taking. If it's not coming from there, where could it possibly be coming from? And USADA listens to our, this is actually really cool, I think. USADA listens to our story and they go back and they're like, we're going to look at some numbers. We're going to look at some tests, and we're going to see what we can do. And then they come back to us and they say, with how low that your percentage is, we can't tell if this was in your system when you were in the UFC or before you were in the UFC. And if it was before you were in the UFC, you're not under our jurisdiction, and it's not a red flag. I don't know the logistics behind it. I'm not a scientist, but they ended up determining that it must have been in my system before I was in the UFC. Therefore, they dropped all the charges.
Wow.
It wasn't one of those like, hey, you know, we'll cut your sentence in half. It's they dropped the charges on me. So let's say I fail again for some odd reason, that'll be considered a first offense because the last case was completely dropped. We were wrong. Sorry, here's your career back.
You don't think maybe that you being dyslexic that you spelled steroids backwards and that
probably probably
that's no that's incredible. I'm happy that actually that it because that's I was like what the hell. I mean you were what, taking like a protein shake or something, you think it might have been?
Yeah, so there was a shop next to our gym. It's called the Smoothie Shop, and they just serve protein and fruit. And a bunch of my teammates go there after practices to, you know, whatever. And they tasted good to me. I don't like the taste of protein shakes. That's why I don't ever really do them. But this one actually had really good tasting protein. So I was like, hey, I'll just eat there now. I'm in the UFC. I need to, you know, start eating more protein or whatever. So I started, and then this happened, and I haven't touched a protein shake since.
That's incredible. I mean, I'm happy that, you know, everything got sorted out because I was like, this is unfair. So do you have to work a day job at all, or do you have to actually have a job, or are you able to support yourself just fighting?
Yeah, I had to go back to my day job at the nursing home because the UFC actually cut me.
Oh my God. What do you do at the nursing home?
What's that?
What do you do at the nursing home?
I wash dishes.
Really?
I wash dishes and I serve. I serve dinner. I'm basically a waiter that doesn't get tipped.
Oh, that's so nice. Do you hang out with the older people and you talk to them and tell them?
Yeah, I got a group of people that I'm in charge of taking care of and making sure they get fed and figuring out what they want to eat.
That's awesome.
Yep, I get to see them pretty much every day.
Do they all watch your fights?
No, they all think I'm a boxer.
that would be really cute if like the UFC panned to them during your fights and they're all like going crazy and like shadow boxing and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think little Mary Lou would appreciate seeing me get hit in the face.
No, I heard STDs at nursing homes are like out of control. Is that true?
I've worked there for 4.5 years, and I've never heard that, no.
Oh, okay. Now, I honestly have heard that. I heard that, like, this is a random sex going on and stuff in nursing homes. I was wondering.
Well, I haven't gotten any from the random sex I'm having there, so, you know.
That's awesome. So you called out Shane West, right? Shane West or Shane Black? Who did you call? Shane McMahon?
Shane Young.
Shane Young. Okay. Who is Shane Young, and why do you want to fight him so bad?
Shane Young, he's 12-4 as a pro. He's had 3 fights in the UFC. He's 2-1 in the UFC. And the only reason I want to fight him is because he seems like a really nice guy, but he's a scrapper. Like, he walks forward and he likes to throw. I walk forward and I like to wrestle and throw. I just feel like it's a great fight to get some bonus money, you know?
Yeah.
I think that win, lose, or draw, we're both walking away with 50 G's after that one.
Well, you're gonna win. Okay, no losers, wrong. All right, so fuck that. It's all winning for you.
Yeah.
Man. Honestly, I think the sky's the limit for you, man. I mean, you just come forward and you just don't stop. And you got great submissions. You got great striking. You got great wrestling. Great jiu-jitsu. I think you're gonna be up there, man. Honestly, for real.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I've been working hard at this, man.
Well, listen, my baby's crying, so I have to go change her diaper, but we got to cut this a little short. Thank you for being on the podcast. Love to have you back, man. Where can people follow you?
Follow me on Instagram, guys. Grant Dawson, KGD. That's what I'm on the most. I don't get on Twitter because Twitter's a jerk. Adam, I can't wait to be on again.
We're going to have you back. Take care, brother.
All right, later.
What's up, people? March Madness is upon us. It's another huge month in sports across the NBA and NCAA. There's only one place to get in all the action. That's betonline.ag. Support our podcast by going to www.clnsmedia.com/winning and use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's CLNS50. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Now, the NBA, the biggest matchups this week are the Celtics. Okay, they're taking on the Golden State Warriors, and the Timberwolves are taking on the Jazz. Yes. And with plenty of excitement and drama happening on and off the court, you don't want to be left on the sidelines. Go where the action is at betonline.ag. Go there now. Yes, go where the action is, because CLNS Media and BOL are offering you a 50% sign-on bonus. That's 50% by signing up at clnsmedia.com/winning and using our code CLNS50 with your first deposit. Yes, go to clnsmedia.com/winning. Use promo code CLNS50 for your 50% sign-on bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Sexual performance issues, way more common than you think, okay? It's not good. 1 out of 4 guys suffer from ED, but it can be treated. Yes, today's your lucky day, because Hims is a wellness brand for men. You've heard us talking about Hims, and if you haven't yet, get on board and stop struggling with ED. Because why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing? They can instead turn to medicine and science. Getting older sometimes means certain parts of the body might not be working as much as they should. So start revving that engine again with ED treatment from Hims. ForHims.com, it's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Listen, don't get defrauded by online sketchy marketplaces. It's hard made easy. Being your best means performing your best, okay? It's been featured in GQ, Men's Health, Esquire, and Playboy. Listen, the first month is just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last and subject to your doctor approval. Restrictions may apply. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/MMAroastED. That's forhims.com/MMAroasted. forhims.com/MMAroasted. What's up, people? Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. You can view easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. How great is that? You can also view stocks collections, such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moments to invest. And Robinhood is giving listeners of MMA Roasted a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. So sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Cody Stamann, 18-2, amazing fighter, kicking some butt. How you doing, man?
I don't know about amazing. I appreciate that.
Man.
I just woke up from a nap. I went hunting this morning.
Nice.
Yeah, life is good.
What were you hunting for?
I was pheasant hunting.
Pheasant hunting?
Pheasant hunting. Yeah, pheasant hunting. You know, doing some redneck shit.
Do you still live in Michigan?
Yeah. I was way up north. I was in Imlay City, which is like kind of up by the thumb of Michigan. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. My dad, my dog, and I, we went and did some pheasant hunting. It was a really, really good time.
And how big are pheasants? They like crawl on the ground, right? Aren't they like little rodents, kind of?
Yeah, they're like the size of like a chicken.
Hmm.
And then, like chickens that can fly.
And then do you like eat them afterwards?
Oh yeah. They're really, really good. Really good. They're like probably the best tasting like game bird. I mean, it literally tastes just like chicken. Like, I mean, it pretty much is like a chicken.
Does your dog eat them too?
He doesn't eat them, but he chases them.
That's his job. Now, I was watching first of all, I've been to more of your fights than anybody else ever. I was at your fight against Tarion Ware. I was at your fight against Brian Caraway, and I was at your fight at 235. I went to 3 out of three out of four fights.
Yeah.
And
you're
always,
my good luck charm.
Yeah, and you've always won. I got to admit, I was actually rooting for Terry on the first one, only because I like knew him. He's like been on my show a bunch of times.
I'm glad you're being honest.
Well, he was a friend of mine, but I knew he was in trouble because
he's a cool freaking dude.
Yeah, I knew he was in trouble though because like the week before your fight, they called me for like Bubba Jenkins' number. His manager was like, "Hey, we need to learn how to wrestle," and I was like, "Uh-oh, this might not go well." But you were a really good wrestler. Now you were a D2 All-American.
No, dude. Actually, that's not even true. I didn't wrestle that game really. That's just on Wikipedia. I wrestled in a few open tournaments in college, but I walked into Grand Valley's room. I wrestled with the team a lot. I went to school there, but no, I mean, as a club team, it wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a serious thing. I just didn't see any point in dedicating any time to it. And at the time I was boxing in Michigan's Golden Gloves tournament. And, I really didn't have time to do both and go to school and work.
Wow. Yeah, no, because I think maybe because of the way that you're built, people just assume that you were like an all-American wrestler. They just
I was really, really good in high school. I was really good on my feet in high school. I had a really good takedown. Like I went like 2 years in high school and I never gave up a takedown. I set the single season takedown record at my school. So I mean, I was a really, really good athlete, I should say. Like I didn't just wrestle though. I played football, I ran track. No, I played all the sports. I played rugby. Like I played all the sports I could in high school. So I was like a multi-sport athlete, but I was never really like that focused on just wrestling.
Did you place in the Michigan State tournament?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't. No, I got in a little trouble my senior year, and I never got to wrestle. I injury defaulted out my junior year, so that was probably what led me to compete in MMA is because I never really got the satisfaction, out of wrestling that I felt like I, had earned. So, right out of high school, I started boxing, and that obviously led to me fighting in MMA.
Now, what do you mean you got in a little trouble your senior year? What happened?
Honestly, the true story of this is we had a wrestling tournament the next day. We were wrestling New Year's Day. It was New Year's Eve. I went out. I was driving my buddies around in one of my dad's work trucks because it fit like, seven people. Bunch of dudes in my truck, all getting wasted. I was driving sober. I got pulled over. Everyone had open containers. And I ended up getting a minor transporting alcohol. Lost my driver's license for 6 months and got thrown off the FCC court.
Wow. I didn't even know that was even a thing. I didn't know you can get in trouble for not drinking.
It really shouldn't be. I was like being the responsible one, but because they were like, there was a bunch of booze in the car. I was the driver. Apparently in Michigan, you're responsible for that. So I ended up getting pretty fucking shafted in that deal.
So the takeaway, that sucks.
It worked out. It sucked then, but it worked out all right.
Yeah, yeah. And now I read that your mom got you into boxing and MMA. Your mom told you to do MMA.
True story.
That's crazy.
True story. Yeah, yeah. It was a birthday present. It was a birthday present for my mom. I actually came home. I came home for, have like, breakfast with my family on Sunday. Whatever, I came home and I had a black eye and I was pretty banged up. I'd gotten a street fight the night before, and this wasn't like an occurrence that happened, it wasn't uncommon, for me to come home like, after a fight and be a little banged up. And my mom was just like, listen, I don't you're gonna end up getting in a lot of trouble, you're gonna hurt somebody, something's gonna happen. She's like, I'll buy you a membership to an MMA gym. She's like, if you go, and you promise me you don't get in street fights anymore. I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Anyways, and so I did. I started training in MMA, and, I didn't get any fights. And then I started, getting in MMA fights. I fought, I think I was 18, almost 19. I turned pro when I was 22, so I had 20 amateur fights over, you know, the course of 3 years. And, yeah, I turned pro when I was 22 and over here.
Yeah, you went 19-1 as an amateur. You won 7 belts. How come you had so many amateur fights?
It was common in Michigan, you know what I mean? Well, one, I was making money selling tickets, you know, making money with sponsorship. So it was like a supplemental income thing, you know. I was making a little bit of extra money on the side, and, you know, so I wanted to fight as much as I could. And I kind of had that, like, wrestling mentality, you know, like a wrestling season, you wrestle 50 times, and then you wrestle freestyle, you wrestle another 50 times. You know, so I was wrestling 100 times a year, you know what I mean? So I just, like, I was a multi-sport athlete. I was just used to competing all the time. So, like, any fight that popped up, I just kept fighting, you know. Like, I wasn't that guy that was like, you can only fight every 2 months. Like, I fought twice in one night. I fought, like, back-to-back weekends, like, 2 or 3 different times. And just because there was opportunities for fights, you know, I was going all over Michigan, Ohio, you know, anywhere I could get, you know, in an MMA fight, I was going there, you know what I mean? So, you know, for me, I didn't really look at fighting the same way, you know, we look at it now. I just wanted to fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're pretty good at it. I mean, you're really good at it. Then you won, then you were just killing people, and you got to the UFC, you won, and then you fought Tom... What's his name? Tom Dukinoy? Or how do you say his last name?
I think it's Dushinwa.
Dushinwa? So you caught Tom Dushinwash. And I thought you won that fight. Like, I thought you won the fight. But you were mad at Rogan, right? Rogan and DC, you thought they were kind of being biased towards Dushinwash?
I mean, in hindsight, you know, it was like... Like, Tom Dukinwa was the man. I was, like, some fucking dorky kid from the Midwest, you know, that was fighting the man, you know. So, I mean, it was obvious that, you know, they probably had, like, a whole rap sheet about what this kid's done and, you know, what had I done? I was just, you know, I was just a kid from the Midwest who really didn't have the notoriety or the respect that Dukinwa did because, you know, I didn't fight in the big promotions like he did. You know, so, like, in hindsight, I wish I wouldn't have said anything, you know, about that, because I think, you know, Joe and Daniel Cormier, they do a good job, and that's a really hard job. But yeah, I mean, it was just like, that was like my coming out fight. You know, that was a fight where, you know, people got to see, you know, what I was about, see that, you know, I was like a legit dude, because I beat like the number one prospect in MMA.
Yeah, and I thought you were gonna win that fight because I thought he was a little limited. I thought he was a great striker, but that your ground game was gonna, you know, overcome what he had. So
yeah, I mean, I actually beat him. You know, I outstruck him on our feet too. You know, he was a great striker, but you know, it's a combination of you know, being able to take people down, and I think being able to box. Not a lot of guys in MMA can box. You know, that is what, you know, messes guys up. The fact that I can, like, push guys backwards, you know, and throw punches moving forward and backwards. And then, you know, when they get too close or, you know, they get too far, you know, I'll take them down.
Have you had any actual boxing matches?
Sure. Yeah, I'm 10-0 as an amateur boxer.
Wow. 10-0. See, they never talk about that.
Everybody always talks about, you know, what I do as a wrestler. I mean, but, you know, I've won most of my fights, you know, on my feet. I mean, the takedowns are always there. But, you know, I don't take guys down and necessarily try to, like, hold them down. Like, that's not something, like, I take guys down to, like, wear on them and to, like, fuck their game up. Not because I'm trying to, like, take them down, hold them down for a whole round, you know. I mean, if you watch my fights, I don't really try to hold guys down.
No.
I take them down, I let them back up, and then I strike with them. And then I take them down again, and I let them back up, you know. And against Perez, you know, that strong little bastard, I couldn't take him down to save my life.
The Caraway fight was closer than I thought it was going to be. I was like, oh no, Brian's gonna have a tough night, and he did have a tough night. You won that fight, but it was pretty close. Were you nervous when it went to the judges? Were you like, oh shit, I hope they don't give it to Brian?
So, in my head, it was a landslide. I mean, I knew I lost the first round, but I knew I won the second and third round. Like,
yeah,
you know, Brian really. I mean, he doesn't throw. He doesn't. He's not very good on his feet. Like, he just throws. He just comes forward. And he, like, throws the same – he throws, like, really weird shit, you know. He doesn't really – his technique is bad. So it's kind of unorthodox, hard to figure out. and he like marches you down. But you know, I felt like I was the one landing the hard shot. I felt like I was stuffing his takedown. You know, like you know, I was out landing him. You know, I didn't really think he was hitting me with anything hard. But so in my head, I was like, yeah, I whooped him. You know, I didn't even think even in that last minute, like he was throwing all his punches, like. You know, I was blocking him, like nothing was really happening, and like that choke that he got at the very end, it wasn't tight. He just held his butt and like was trying to, you know, do something for the judges. But I mean, it was in my head, like I whooped him, but you know, then I rewatched the fight and that actually looked a lot closer. You know, but that's how he does that. Like he's really, really good at like, yeah, dragging you into, you know, his like style of fight. You know, and you know that's why he's so successful even at, you know, the high levels, is because. Like, he is really, really good at, like, imposing his game plan.
And it was also in Vegas. But, you know, it was in Vegas.
Even now, after watching the fight, I still think I won.
Yeah, I mean, it was also in Vegas. It was, like, that was, like, where he's from, you know, like, so people were kind of definitely rooting for him. So, now, and then, of course, the Aljamain fight, which, that was a close fight until he hit that crazy submission that I've never even seen before. Is that hard? Is that something where you're like, oh man, because you weren't really training for that move?
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird deal, right? Like, I knew like in that first round, I felt like I was taking him down, I was pushing him back, like I was doing exactly what I was supposed to do to beat him, you know, and like I knew I won that, and then right in the beginning of the second round, I threw a head kick, and I just, like, felt it, like, crush his freaking head. Like, my foot just smacked him in the face, and I, like, pointed at him. And I got, like, I was getting kind of cocky, you know, I think he got pissed. And, like, I was, like, dancing around, and he was, like, dead serious. And then, everything shifted in the fight, you know what I mean? I stopped, kept backing him up, you know, throwing hard punches. I was kind of dancing around. I wasn't fighting my game plan, and then, you know, really, really what I did that was bad was we were on the cage, and instead of, like, defending the takedown, I tried to, like, bunk roll. I tried to hit a Granby roll out of a body lock he had me on the cage, and that was the beginning of the end. Like, I was just, like, being cocky, trying to hit, a sweet move, and, you know, Aljamain's a stud. He fucking stuck me. He got me in a position where he's really, really good, and... You know, I was in a bad spot. You know, I didn't think I was in trouble. Like, I mean, I knew I was in trouble. Like, because I'm obviously, you know, freaking, he's got the boots in. I'm getting freaking, you know, punched like a punching bag. But, you know, I thought I was getting up. I was like pissed. I'm like, man, I cannot believe I did that. You know what I mean? And then suddenly, you know, as I'm standing up, my knee just like snaps.
Oh, no.
And I scream, grab my knee, and fight's over. You know, I mean, it wasn't like, it was just a reaction thing. I watched it a million times. Like I didn't tap. I literally just screamed, grabbed my knee, and then reached for his head. Like I was trying to like peel his head off. But I mean, it was 100%. It was a just stoppage. You know, I was in pain, and then I stood up, and I was like, it didn't feel that bad. It didn't feel as bad as it felt. You know, and it ended up being I tore a muscle in my calf, which was probably like the loud pop that I heard. And then I had an LCL sprain. So but really it only set me back like, you know, 4 weeks, you know, outside of the actual, you know, losing the fight, which was going to hurt me for the rest of my life because I fucking hate losing. But, you know, the injury wasn't as bad as like what I had thought it was going to be.
But before that fight, he was calling you a tool and you're like, I'm going to knock this fucker out. Were you guys cool afterwards or no?
Yeah, no, for real. Like, he texted me, he was like, yeah, man, he wrote me on Instagram, he was like, hey, if anybody knows about losing in a really, really messed up way, it's me, you know. He goes, and he was actually, you know, all bullshit aside, you know, all the shit we talked, you know, I got a lot of respect for the guy after we fought, because he was, you know what I mean, it was kind of like, you know, I'm a fighter, I've been there, I get it, man, it sucks, you know, good luck in the future, and I kind of said the same thing to him, I was like, hey, man, that's cool. It's really classy that you came and, you know, brought me this message, you know, best of luck to you in the future too. And, you know, we're both back, you know, back to, you know, climbing the ranks. You know, I think he's number 3 now. I'm back to number 10, you know, that's a fight, you know, him and I think we'll probably see each other in the future. You know, I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you're really hard on yourself.
That, you know, kind of on our way up in our career. You know, I'll see him again, and next time I'll be a little more prepared.
You're so hard on yourself, though. I watched your interview after your last fight, and you were like, "Yeah, I don't know what was wrong," and you won, and you were like, "I couldn't get started. I'm so much better than this. This is, I mean, you acted like you lost, even though you won." Is that healthy? Does that work for you, or is something that you were like, man, I wish I wasn't so hard on myself?
I mean, it was just honestly didn't feel good about it after everything was done. You know, I watched the fight. I felt a little bit better about it, but I mean, literally, like in my head, when the fight got over with, I felt like fucking Perez like didn't do anything the whole fight. Like I literally felt like he threw like 10 punches that whole fight, and he was just standing there like with his hands up. Like just trying to counter, like land a like big bomb counter shot. You know what I mean? So it was like hard for me to like get in on him and throw stuff. And like my game plan going into that fight was to counter him, you know? So like there was a lot of moments in that fight where I was like faking and feigning and moving, trying to draw him in to throw in something. And then he was just backing up. And so it just wasn't the fight that I had planned. You know, I saw him be way more aggressive against pretty much every other person that he's fought, and then against me, he just kind of stood there. He didn't do anything. You know, I thought he was going to throw a ton of jabs, and I was going to counter his jabs. You know, he threw like three the whole fight. So it was just, it just wasn't the fight. I thought it was going to be like a really, really high impact, explosive fight, and it just wasn't the fight that I wanted, you know, coming off a loss. So, you know, after watching it, I'm not disappointed with myself. You know, I feel like I did a really good job, you know, preparing for that fight on 4 weeks' notice. You know, I beat a guy that hadn't lost in years. I'm over it. You know what I mean? But I want to be more offensive than that. Like, moving forward, I want to be known for being, like, freaking killer. You know, I don't want to be known for a guy that's edging out decisions. And, you know, I've done that a few times in my UFC career now. You know, Caraway, that was a super close fight. You know, Perez, I don't feel like it was that close of a fight. I feel like I beat him all three rounds. But it wasn't that fun to watch. You know, even me watching it, like, watching myself, I'm like, man, if I'm a fan, I'm like, I'm not that thrilled with this fight. You know, like there was a lot of technical shit that was going on, but people don't want to see technical shit. They want to see guys getting in there and throwing, you know what I mean? And I have the ability to fight that kind of fight. You know, I just need a little bit better dance partner.
You know what? People want to see people that win. You got to win. I was there. Nobody was complaining about the fight. Nobody was booing. It was a good fight. There was one time he did slam you on your head that I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, Alejandro Perez is the strongest dude I've ever fought in my life. Swear to God, stronger than Brian Caraway, stronger than Aljamain Sterling, way stronger than that French kid Duchenois. Because he's like 25 pounder, but dude, how Perez is no joke. Like the dude is freaking freakishly strong. No, I can't tell you. I've never been picked up like that in my life. Like. No one in the gym, guys at 180 pounds don't do that shit to me. Like, dude, when he was picking me up and I was just like, oh shit, what is going on? I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he was crazy, man. He got like superhuman strength. He really is crazy strong. Like,
no, when I saw it, I thought, you know, first like, I thought you threw him.
I took Aljamain Sterling down four times in the first round. Dude, I could not. Dude, Alejandro Perez, man, I hit that kid, hit his legs. It was like hitting a freaking wall, dude. He was strong as shit.
No, I was like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I thought you threw him. Then I realized he threw you. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, that was not what I was expecting at all. It was
right. No, me neither. Like, I didn't even know he could wrestle. I didn't even know that. You know, I honestly didn't know that. I thought I was just going to blow him over with a double leg.
That's what I thought,
too. The way he, like, buffed my shot. I think that might have been, like, really why I was so pissed. It's because, like, I've always taken everyone down.
Yeah.
And I could not take him down.
Where do you train out of?
What's that?
Do you train at a Michigan Top Team? Where do you train out of?
Yeah. I train at Michigan Top Team, yeah. Yeah, I do the majority of my training. I bounce around, too. Now I go to, like, there's a couple of, like, real good boxing gyms in Detroit. And then I go to Canada, and I work with TJ Laramie a lot. She's a really good training partner for me. Tough kid from Canada.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to start. You know, I used to train all over the place. I trained at Alpha Male. I trained at America Top Team. I lived in Vegas for a while. I trained all over the place. But Now, I want to get back to doing that, man. Cause I feel like that's something I need to do. I need to, I need different looks. I need to work with some different training partners, different coaches, get a different fresh look, you know, cause, you know, moving forward, you know, there's a lot of bad motherfuckers at 135 pounds. And like, I need to, you know, I need to be the best, I can be if I'm going to go out there and compete with these guys.
Now, I like picture you living by yourself in like the woods in Michigan. Is that what happens with like a big deer carpet on the ground or something? Or a big bear carpet. Is that who you live with or nobody?
Hold on. I couldn't hear you. My freaking dog was barking.
I picture you living out in the woods in like a little hut with like a big bear carpet and like a fireplace. Is that how you live? Or do you have roommates? Or who do you live with? You live with your parents?
I mean, I do have the big animal rug. I don't have the fireplace though. No, I mean that's ideally, that's how I would live.
Yeah.
I live in the suburbs though, unfortunately. You know, I haven't beat enough guys up to go buy that big log cabin in the woods yet. But if I could, that's how I would live.
Are you able to like support yourself financially and not have to have a day job?
No, I don't. No day job.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I talk to fighters who are like part-time Uber drivers or like, and they're ranked number like 7, or they work at strip clubs as bouncers. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, one of our co-hosts, Vince Pichel, he has like 3 different jobs. He's like an electrician. He's that. And then he's training to fight in Gregor Gillespie. And I'm like, dude, you can't have all these jobs if you're fighting these top-notch people. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, coming up as an athlete, I had, you know, I used to train a lot of people. I taught classes everywhere. I guess I still do train a few people, and I do teach at a couple gyms, but it's pretty seldom. Like, it's not like, it's like a few hours a week, you know, just for like, I don't even really do it for money. I do it mainly just to stay busy. You know what
right,
I mean? It's
right,
not
right.
Like, it's not really that expensive to live in Michigan. So, you know, the money I make as an athlete, I don't really need much more. And I'm not like most guys, you know, I'm pretty smart with my money.
Got it. And then you married, have a girlfriend, Tinder, Bumble, Soul Swipe. What's your, a lot of chicks out there, Michigan girls?
Yeah, there's a lot of strip clubs in Michigan.
No, not strip clubs.
Meet and greets at them.
No, I'm saying like, what's your, like, do you have a girlfriend or married?
No, I have a girlfriend. Yeah, I got a girlfriend. Sorry, I thought you asked me about strip clubs.
Oh, no, I didn't. I don't, that's on your mind. I was saying, like, how long have you had this girlfriend for?
Yeah, I've been dating the same girl for a couple of years.
Nice.
So that keeps me out of a lot of trouble, too. So.
Yeah. Does she want to get married, a ring, babies?
She does. We'll see.
This is the most serious you've gotten on the podcast so far. Well, listen, sounds like she's a good girl. If she's with you now, you know, because when you become the UFC champion, they're all going to come out of nowhere. All the bottle
right,
bitches.
Well, I mean,
she
was with me before the UFC too. So,
yeah,
you know, you gotta respect that.
Of course. That's a girl you want to keep. Cause once you become champion, they're all going to come out. All the bottle hose.
No, I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to sound like the fucking man here. I'm definitely not, but they're starting to come out already.
They're starting
to come out. You know, I'm the only UFC fighter in Michigan. You know that. You know, so the MMA groupies, you know, they're out. They're in full effect.
So then, so when they say to you like, hey, they say, hey, like, hey, saw you on TV. You're really cute. You know, you want to hang out? What do you tell them? You have a girlfriend? I mean, how do you not respond?
No, I usually just like their message. There's that's a freaking awesome feature that you can do on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Hey, you know, blah, 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 you know, we should get dinner sometime. I'll just like their message.
Ah, that's good.
But I won't respond.
Yeah.
I won't respond. You know what I mean? So they're like super confused. Like, what the fuck? You know, like, why is he doing this?
Mm.
So weird.
I like it. It's a good strategy. I like it. Yeah. There you go. Nice.
Yeah, just messes with him.
So I know after your last fight, you were like, I'm going to go find Sean Shelby and tell him to get me another fight in 2 weeks. Did you do that or no?
I told him I want to fight in June. I told him I want to fight in June. I did say that. You know,
I didn't find Sean, but I told my manager, "Yeah, man, I want to get back in there. You know, I'm injury free. I want to get back in there soon. You know, I don't want a big layoff this time around. You know, I'll get back in there, get another paycheck." And he was like, "Honestly, they're booked like way through April, and like most of May, and like there's only a few guys that you could fight. You know, so we're probably looking at June, July." So I'm like, "All right." So that like that got thrown out the window really fast. I was like, "I mean, this is like that night I found this out."
Right.
So. But yeah, I mean, I'm gonna fight June, July, you know, fighting that I'm healthy and the right opportunity comes up. You know, I'm not gonna, I really don't want a big layoff. You know, I'd like to fight at least three times this year. Just stay active. You know, I'm not necessarily, you know, everyone's like, go fight Dominic Cruz and then fight for the belt the next fight. I'm like, I don't think you really know how this MMA thing works, man. You know, you got to get a streak going. And then, you know, I'm 1-1 in my last two fights. So yeah, I got to get some more wins against tough opponents, you know, so I'd like to fight someone that's ranked similar to what I'm ranked and, you know, put on a good show, keep building that fan base, keep building. And then, you know, eventually, you know, we go after one of those big boys up top.
But you're also 4-1 in the UFC. I mean,
talk about, big money.
You're also 4-1 in the UFC though. So it's not like you're 1-1 in your last two fights, but you're 4-1 in your last five. So
That's true. I do like hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. So where can people follow you?
Everything's just Cody Stamann. Yeah, just Cody Stamann. Follow me on Instagram. Because, I mean, I don't really do any shit on anything else. You know, Facebook, I mean, all I do is post shit on Instagram. Twitter, I'm trying to up my Twitter game a little bit. But, man, I don't like it. I don't like Twitter. It's fucking weird.
It is weird.
You know, it's just like... It's a weird deal. I mean, I like it. I like reading people's comments, but I don't know. I think I struggle with like just telling people what I'm doing all day. You know?
Nah, totally.
I just need to get on there and be more active and, you know, talking about fights, talking shit to people. You know, I feel like a lot of MMA fans really, really like that stuff, and that's something I'm definitely just my repertoire.
I don't know, man. You just keep doing what you're doing. You just keep winning. That's what MMA fans like that the most. So. You know, guys who could win. So,
true.
Listen, Cody, have a great upcoming week. Thanks for being on the podcast, and I can't wait for your next fight, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
All right, take care.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you, Grant Dawson, and thank you, Cody Stamann. Guys, listen, that's the podcast today. You could see me in Reno at the Laugh Factory next week. I will be in the Reno Laugh Factory. That's next week, okay? We'll look at the day right now. I will be there the 19th to the 24th of March. And then coming up, April 19th and 20th, I'll be at the Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida. And then July fight weekend, I'll be in Vegas at the Stratosphere. I'm also all over the world. So go to adamhunter.com, adamhunter.com, see my whole website. Download my new CD, Adam Hunter Still Broke. Available on Spotify, iTunes, wherever CDs are sold. Also, if you order Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first, click my banner, and then order whatever you want. So thank you guys for listening to the podcast, and take care. Trap, sons, and trap, don't sons, trap, don't sons, trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Дараа стоотан дөрвөлэн боруулаа.